Welcome to Home Group. My name is Rick Renner, and I am here with Maxim Yasnikov and the wonderful Denise Renner. Denise, welcome to Home Group.
Am I the wonderful Denise Renner?
You are, Denise.
Honey.
You're wonderful to me.
Honey, thank you. You're perfect for me.
Oh.
That's the truth.
Thank you.
That's the truth.
Glad I'm perfect for somebody.
Well, you are for me.
And we also want to welcome Maxine.
Hello. I'm happy to be here.
Maxine, it's always fun to have you here. And today, there's something I want you to share with Home
Group. Yes, sir.
But we're talking about keeping the devil from getting into some area of your life. In the last home group, we talked about practical steps you can take to keep the devil out of your marriage. But today, we're going to talk about taking steps to block the devil from your health. From your health. And I want to begin with my testimony. Denise and I grew up very differently. She grew up on a farm. She really did.
I did.
This is a farm girl.
I had chickens.
And you did, and you had rabbits, and you had sunflowers.
Sunflowers, and I had old green beans and new potatoes, and doesn't that just
squash,
make you just want to eat?
Corn.
Potatoes and squash, and occasionally watermelon and blackberries. Oh, it was so good.
And I grew up with a wonderful mother who taught me so many great things about Jesus and a dad who gave me a good work ethic. But my mother knew nothing about nutrition. I thought good eating was fried, greasy, junky food. We didn't just have potato chips in our house. My parents bought those carton packs, all kinds of potato chips and canned stringed potatoes, and everything we ate in our house was fried and loaded with sugar. Even when we ate cantaloupe, my grandfather Renner said, "What a waste. A cantaloupe is like a crescent moon. Let's fill it with sugar." He would fill it and round it off at the top with sugar, and that's how I learned to eat cantaloupe. We had soft drinks, which were sugar-loaded. My mother made all kinds of desserts, which were sugar-loaded. And here we're eating all this greasy, junky, fried food, and that's what my taste buds just loved when we got married. So we had a little conflict when we first got married because Denise wanted me to eat like a rabbit, and I refused. That looked horrible to me.
You know, normal. And I, eating a salad.
See, that's kind of an opinionated
fruit,
statement,
fruit.
But that's okay.
Salad.
I didn't want her to force that on me. I wanted to eat the way I'd been raised. Well,
I got to tell them, though, I did give it up. I gave it up a long time ago. I was looking at his plate one time, and there it was, grease, potatoes, no salad, of course, no fruit. And I was looking at it, and I was just, oh, poor thing. I've got to teach him how to eat. And I was judging him, and I was trying to use every excuse in the book to try to change him so that he would eat the way I wanted him to eat. And I was staring at that plate, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, "If he eats that way, the rest of his life, it's none of your business." And I was like, oh, okay. And you know what? The Holy Spirit, he's such a friend. And I'm so thankful he spoke to me like that, Rick, because I would be a very frustrated woman.
Well, it released you of judgment.
Yeah.
And it released me of your condemnation.
And it released me of trying to change you, which was impossible.
Well, thank you.
Well, do you know how frustrating that is?
Well, okay. But can I finish with my testimony?
Well, we are talking about
okay, so Denise was eating healthy and I was eating bad. Well, I began to gain weight. And it's interesting, I gained really severe weight twice. Both times during church building programs. The first one was in Riga. I got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And to lose weight, I went on ridiculous diets. I would eat nothing but butter and meat. But I lost a lot of weight, but couldn't keep it off. And then I went on a watermelon diet where I ate nothing but watermelon. That's all that I ate was watermelon for months. And Dave and Joyce Meyer were with us in Riga. And Joyce said, "Rick, tell me about your diet. How have you been losing this weight?" I said, "Joyce, it's wonderful. I ate nothing but watermelon." And she looked at me and she said, "When are you ever going to eat normal?" She said, in all the years I've known you, you've always done some crazy diet. And she was right. It didn't work. You can't live on watermelon. Anyway, but I did lose weight. Then we moved to Moscow, got in another building program. I got under stress, and I started eating. I got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until finally I weighed 340 pounds. Now, I am sorry to tell you, but that is really the truth. That was the peak. And I only worked up the nerve recently to even admit that number, and it's been years. I started falling, fell out of the bed, had to have somebody help me get up, fell in a hotel in Riga. It was very embarrassing. My health was just crumbling, and it was because I had opened the door to the devil by the way that I was eating. And when you become large, you also become immobile. So everything was bad. It was just bad. You know, one doctor said to me, 90% of sicknesses are caused by wrong eating. Well, that means 90% of sicknesses can probably be fixed by right eating. Think how many people have diabetes because of how they eat. You know, you can make a big change in your life by just eliminating sugar. Eliminating flour, eliminating bread, simple, simple things that can really make a difference in your weight, and that if you keep doing it, it will open a door for the devil in your life. So, with my family's help, which I at first did not appreciate, but later I did, I began to lose weight, changed the way that I was eating. I began to go on an exercise program, which I did not want to do. Exercise to me was a four-letter word. It was like a foul word. I didn't want anything to do with it. I had never exercised as a young man or as an adult. Now, we had flirted with the idea of exercise. We bought a treadmill, and Denise, what did we do with it?
We hang clothes on it.
You can't use a treadmill if it's covered with clothes.
It is a great place, though, to hang up clothes.
It is. And then we bought a trampoline. What happened to the trampoline?
It got covered with books.
I didn't have anywhere to put my excess books. Well, you can't use a trampoline if it's covered with books. You can't use a treadmill if it's covered with clothes. So we just played with those ideas. But I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision. Maxime recently made a decision. You want to tell us about it?
Yes, I would be happy to tell you about it. And my testimony is a bit similar because it started with my mom. Originally, I come from the city of Stalingrad, if you've heard of that city, during the World War II.
The movie Enemy at the Gate?
Yeah.
It's about Stalingrad.
That's my city. So my mom, when the war started, she was born in 1935, so she was 6 years old. She was 7 years old when Nazis started bombing Stalingrad. And my mom was there. She was hiding in the basement somewhere when Nazis started, you know, bombing the city of Stalingrad, which was completely destroyed. So my mom went through this war being a child, and she starved. Starvation was her lifestyle, as for many other kids here in our part of the world. So when she grew up and food became available, she always wanted to make sure I was not hungry, as she was. So she fed me. It was kind of like a cult in our family. Food, because she went through starvation. So I grew up eating more than I should have. And I have tendency to gain weight. They're perfect people that can eat anything they want. They do not gain weight. I'm always jealous of those people. I'm not one of those. And this year, my weight went up to 116 kilos. I don't know what it is in pounds.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. It's very high. And you know what? Working for him, going on all these trips to these wonderful places, I love going on these trips. There's one problem.
What places?
Like Turkey.
They're not vacations we go
on. Oh, no, we go and work. We go and work filming those historical archaeological sites. Most of them are in Turkey.
And they baklava. It's the best baklava in the world.
When I see baklava shops in Turkey, I want to say, get ye behind me, devil, because baklava is so good and it makes you gain weight so fast. So, and there's a verse in the Bible. I know how Russian Bible says it. if you cannot control your appetite, put a knife to your throat. How does your...
It says it like that.
If you cannot control your appetite, put a knife to your throat. I went a bit deeper. I had put a knife to my stomach. Less than...
You had a gastro bypass surgery.
Yes, my stomach. Now it's only 150 milliliters. I cannot eat or drink more than 150 milliliters of water. Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
So in less than 4 weeks, I've lost 20 pounds.
So this is a brand new development in your life.
And I'm so thankful. And Jesus said, if your eye or your hand is like a stumbling block,
offends you,
remove it. I'm not telling you that you have to do it. Talk to your doctor. It's my testimony. So I'm free from this temptation. And the most wonderful part is, I don't know if you knew it, when they remove, like it's like 80% of your stomach, they remove the part of your stomach that produces the hunger hormone. It's called, in Russian, it's ghrelin. I don't know how, that's how it's spelled.
Uh-huh.
Is it ghrelin?
Ghrelin,
So it's not just, I have no place in me to put food in. I'm not hungry. This problem is gone. I'm so thankful to Jesus.
Well, I'm proud of you for doing something because you needed to do something.
Hallelujah.
But what I realized was my health was crumbling, and it was my fault. I could yell devil as much as I want, but I'm the one that opened the door and said, come on in. And it was during that heavy, heavy wait time that I really had back problems. I was having everybody pray for my back. And one day the Lord spoke to me and said, you do not have a back problem. Lose the weight and your back problem will go away. It was me. I opened the door. The devil wiggled his way in and it was me. And I was the only one that could shut the door. So we began a new process to lose weight, to begin to exercise. And I have a verse that meant very much to me. And that is 1 Corinthians 9:26. And Maxine, this applies to you, to anybody that's struggled with their health, particularly with their weight. I therefore so run, not uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body. Paul says, I run, the Greek word treko. It means to get in the race and move steadily. Now, if you say, okay, I'm going to change the way that I'm eating, and in 2 weeks I'm going to lose 40 pounds. No, you're not. That is so silly. You've tried it before. You know that's not attainable. You might lose 40 pounds in the next year or in the next 6 months. But don't disappoint yourself by setting an unrealistic goal. Jump in the race, run, and move steadily. Decide you're going to lose 5 pounds. Hey, that's a big victory. And then when you reach that victory, shout hallelujah and rejoice that you achieved something and move it further to lose another 5 and another 5, then another 5 and another 5. Just keep moving the goal and keep moving steadily toward the ultimate goal. But don't wake up and say, I'm going to lose 40 pounds in the next 2 weeks because that is ridiculous. Don't do that. But you need to jump in the race. And there's something else really important. Paul says, so run I, not what? Not uncertainly. The word uncertainly is the Greek word adelos. It means having no plan, no goal, no aim. You have to have a plan. If you're just going to figure it out every day, when you wake up, what you're going to eat, you're going to blow it. You have to have a plan. Now, for me, and Denise will tell you this is really the truth, I do the very best when everything is eliminated. When I have something simple and I don't have to make choices, I do much better because choices to me really open the door to veer off track. So I begin eliminating choices and I find a plan that I can stick with that is really doable and it's not crazy, and I live with that plan. You have to have a plan if you're going to lose weight and keep moving ahead steadily. We already said you can eliminate bread. You can eliminate sugar. You can eliminate flour. That already is very significant. And just say from now on, I'm not going to touch white sugar. I'm not going to touch flour. I'm not going to touch bread. You're already on a good track. But you have to have a plan. And when you have a plan, then there's no second guessing. There's no mystery. You already know what you can and what you can't do. And by the way, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. It might be that you're in the mess you're in right now because you haven't been exercising self-control. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And the Holy Spirit will really help you. He will. And if you need others to help you, be honest about that. Say to somebody, please help me. Please tell me what I can do and what I can't do. For example, one of the worst things that happened for me was between Moscow and out where we live, they opened several Burger Kings along the road. I love Burger King. And I really don't love Burger King so much, but I love their fries. I love the saltiness of their fries. And I would find myself at church preaching. And while I'm preaching, also thinking about Burger King and stopping to get those fries and get a burger on the way home. I mean, while I'm preaching, talk about being tempted. So we'd get in the car and I would say to Maxime, because often Maxime rode with me, on the way home, if I want to turn into Burger King, tell me no, because often Maxime drives.
But the problem is, I wanted to stop there myself. So when he would tell me, don't stop, I was like, I want to stop.
but you honored me. Yeah. You know, if I'd say, Maxime, let's go to Burger King, he'd say, nope, you tell me you can't go to Burger King. I was with him.
Wasn't that easy to say that?
But find somebody to help you put up some barricades for you. Find somebody to help you. God will give you somebody to help you. Denise is a great blessing to help me. And I'm very thankful for Denise. I still don't like to eat the way that she eats, and she doesn't like to eat the way that I eat, but I eat much healthier than I used to. I mean, a lot more healthy. And by the way, I don't weigh what I used to weigh. I lost a lot of weight. I lost 100 pounds or more. It is really miraculous. But I didn't lose it all in a month, did I, Denise?
No.
It was a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And I really stuck with it. But there's something else.
Well, can I add something
sure.
up here?
Sure.
Now, I don't know about Rick, but, well, I do know about Rick. But for me, I have to have education. I have to be reading or studying about my health and what is going to help me. And why sugar's so bad, and what it does to your body. Because when I read that, it enforces my decision. So maybe that'll help some of you that are listening.
Well, that's part of having a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You need to study and figure out what's right and what works for you. Okay, but you also need to exercise. Okay, exercise. Ugh. I was so glad books were on the trampoline and clothes were on the treadmill because I didn't want to use either one of them. But, you know, the body is an instrument. And the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4:4 that every one of you needs to know how to manage his vessel. And the word manage means to steward, to use, to take care of. The word vessel describes the human body, but it is also the same Greek word for an instrument, like a work instrument. Well, what happens to a wrench if you don't use it? If you just let it lay there, even though it's not near moisture, it's amazing how a wrench can become corroded. It becomes rusty. That wonderful instrument, it's hard to use, maybe not even usable, because it was ignored. Any pilot will tell you the best way to keep a plane in shape is just fly it. If you let a plane sit on the runway, it'll fall to pieces. But if you just keep it moving, it will maintain its mobility. It will stay in good shape. This human body is an instrument. God gave it to us. God gave us our bodies, and we only have one. And just like a wrench, if you don't use it, if you eat wrong, your arteries become corroded. How many people do you know that have corroded arteries? That's even what it's called. Or they begin to lose their mobility, they can't walk, they fall. Their body just begins to go to pot because they don't use it. My friends, this is an instrument. Now, you can claim that you're going to live 120 years, but if you're eating wrong, and if you're not taking care and moving your body and maintaining mobility, you're not going to live 120 years. You are deceiving yourself. You have got to move your body. And for me, exercise began steadily, just like eating. You got to just take it one step at a time, have minor goals, incremental goals along the way. And I begin by doing half push-ups. Well, you know what? That may not sound like much, but for me, that was really something, especially considering how large I was. I could have never done a full push-up. I did what I could do. You need to do what you can do. You need to move your body. And remember, the greater one in you will cooperate with you. He will help you. Now, if we're in Moscow, I go to the gym 3 times a week, and I love it. I just love it. I just love to go there. I feel good. I feel victorious. What I once loathed, now I enjoy. And you know what? When you exercise, you feel better. You really feel better. Your mind is brighter. This is so very important. And I want to say one more thing. You know, the Bible says that bodily exercise profits little. And people say, well, that's my reason I don't exercise. The Bible says it profits little. You know what the Greek really means? Bodily exercise is short-lived. That's because it applies mainly to this life, but it's beneficial. The Greeks believed, and the Paul believed, that's why he wrote it, that exercise was not only good for the body, but it was good for the soul. And that is really the truth. Exercise spiritually helps you to be more alert. Exercise helps your mind to work better. You need to start with something and get your body moving. And if you'll eat right, and if you'll get your body moving, maybe your arthritis, your back pain, your migraines, your high blood pressure, sugar diabetes, it might all go away because the majority of it is related to what you're doing to your body. Denise?
No, it's really true.
So simple to shut the door to the devil in this area, but you have to make a decision. And Maxime, since you recently made a serious decision, would you pray for our home group?
Yes, I would love to pray for our home group. And I just want to add one quick thing. Apostle Paul was a real sportsman, given how much he walked.
Can you imagine? If you add up all the miles he walked to preach, it's about 26,000 miles.
I'm sure he had really good muscles.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
On his
legs.
Legs. You know, he was a real sportsman.
He was.
So let's pray. Dear Father.
Let me have your hands.
I'm praying for our home group, for everybody who's watching us, Lord. Help us all, Lord, to do the right thing, to eat right, to exercise, so that we could live longer and serve you longer. And I'm praying for each person who struggles with eating, who doesn't eat right. Help them, Lord. Help them, Lord. We sympathize with everyone, Lord. We're not judging anybody. We understand what happens. Mm-hmm. And we pray and we ask you to help, Lord, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thanks for being with us. In the next group, we're going to talk about how to keep the devil out of your money. It's going to be good. Amen. Bye-bye.
Please like, subscribe, and share this video with your friends so more people can see it.